There we go. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for everyone joining us on today's call, Why Disciple a Youth Minister's Perspective. We're really excited to not only have Lighthouse Catholic Media reps throughout the country joining us today, but we have parish leaders listening as well, our shepherds, adult formation directors, and our youth ministers from parishes across the country. So thank you for joining us. So this call is being sponsored by Lighthouse Catholic Youth, the Augustine Institute, and our friends at Ignatius Press. On the call today, my name is Joseph DeMendi. I'm the division manager for Lighthouse Catholic Media. I'm also the product specialist for the Augustine Institute. Also with me on the call is Brian Truckenbro. He's the regional manager for Lighthouse, as well as the director of strategic evangelization for Lighthouse Catholic Media. He's also the product specialist for Augustine Institute. Hi, Brian.
How are you today?
Doing great. Also, we have a very special guest host from the Augustine Institute, Everett Smith Fritz, content development lead for Y Disciple. He'll be introducing a full-time youth minister, Russ Hoyt, who has been using Y Disciple for some time. So before we begin, let's ask Our Lady to be with us, to help us learn and grow, to do our Heavenly Father's will, to help bring as many as we can to His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us sinners now at the hour of death. Amen. Father,
and
the Holy Spirit.
Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so we're here today to talk about Y Disciple. You know, Brian and I have been having excellent conversations out there with parish leaders and youth ministers out there about Y Disciple. As many as the Lighthouse Catholic reps joining us today have been having great conversations as well, and the response has been really great. Parishes are jumping on board because they recognize the, you know, the incredible value that YD brings to youth ministry programs. To the parish leaders that are joining us today, we really do recognize the incredible responsibility you have regarding youth ministry, because our youth is our future. It's the future of the church, the future of our parishes. So you're shouldered with the challenge of how you can reach all your youth, engage them, and help lead them in a life of discipleship. And we believe that without a doubt, Y Disciple is an excellent means to helping you. So with that, Everett Fritz is content development lead for Y Disciple. He's going to be giving an overview with his slide presentation of what Y Disciple is. And then Everett is going to introduce our special youth minister guest. And they're going to have a talk a little bit about Russ Hoyt's youth ministry program at his parish. And then after that, we're going to open up for Q&A. So, Everett?
Great. I just noticed in the question box, Joe, that there are people that are asking about audio because they're not hearing anything. Can we, and I can't pull it up on my screen right now because I'm sharing my screen. Can we post the phone number, call in information in the chat box?
Yeah, why don't you, you want me to, I'll tell it to you over the... if you could type it in there for them.
Sure.
Do you have the number handy?
I can do that, Joe.
Okay.
Okay, so Andy's going to do that, and I'll just start talking. That's good.
That would be
welcome,
fantastic.
Everybody. It's a pleasure to be with you today. It's great to have technology that allows us to come together and do this. So last week we started doing, we're doing weekly webinars on Y Disciple, and having different people speak each week. And last week, I think myself and Lucas Lucas here at the Augustine Institute presented on Y Disciple and the Augustine Institute and Symbolon. So, essentially, to start, I just want to give a really, really brief overview in case you weren't on that call last week, and give you a bit of a different perspective. I'm also going to give you a little bit of the history of how this Y Disciple came to be developed. And then we'll get into talking to Russ, who actually implements it in his parish. A little bit of background about myself. I started working here at the Augusta Institute about a year ago. Prior to that, I was a youth minister in a parish and found myself on the original architect team to develop Y Disciple. Essentially what Jim Beckman, who's our founder of this program, really, he had been noticing around the country for several years that something wasn't working in parishes. That if you go from parish to parish to parish, most parishes will say, we love our young people, we want to serve them, we want to minister to them, we want to form them as disciples, and something isn't working. If you looked at methods of formation for teens around the country, the primary method of formation remains classroom-style catechesis, which generally speaking isn't bearing the type of fruit that we would want to see. We're seeing teens go through a program, be taught and catechized, leave the program, and then we never see them again in the church. There's something that isn't being caught. And we always say that that young people, that discipleship, becoming a lifelong disciple of Jesus Christ, is something that is caught. It's not taught. It's something that you learn from example, you learn from experience, you learn in your everyday life. It's not something that is easily transmittable in a classroom environment. The second method of youth ministry that we see, and this is might be one that you're all familiar with, if my slides will work, a current concept of youth ministry is that we need to put on a show. If you go to the National Catholic Youth Conference, which I believe we just had back in November in Indianapolis, 22,000 teens there. There's a big stage, a lot of dancing, a lot of fun, a lot of entertainment. And then you look at large group youth ministry concepts, the idea of youth group. There's a lot of fun activities. There's a lot of sometimes there's faith formation mixed in with the fun. You can go to youth conferences around the country, youth things. A lot of times what you see is a big stage, a lot of action, a lot of entertainment. The problem with this concept, I was just talking with Sean Dalton about this yesterday, who's our Y Disciple team lead, and we were saying, you know, we were talking to one Dawson director, and we said, you know, this doesn't really set up a young person for success because they go back to their parish, and how can we duplicate this experience to them in their everyday life? I mean, Catholicism is not about a show on a stage. It's about daily practice, daily disciplines, knowing the person of Jesus Christ, and understanding his teachings and putting those into practice in our everyday life. And what we're seeing in a lot of parishes is the attempt to put a lot of resources at the disposal of putting on a display, putting on a show for the teens to keep them engaged, and moderate success with that. But the reality is, even in parishes that have youth groups and good youth ministry, the statistics are staggering. Are our teenagers leaving their home life and parish life as disciples of Jesus Christ, which is our end goal? That's the question we had to ask ourselves. And the reality is 80% of college students stop attending Mass within their first year of college, and only 30% of Americans who were raised Catholic are still practicing. We actually did looked at a study recently on atheists on college campus. So there was a group that went around to all the free thought societies and atheist clubs on colleges, and what they found was that 70% of those in their atheist clubs actually grew up in a parish youth group or in a church youth group. There's something that isn't being transmitted. So what Jim Beckman did is he got together with a team of youth ministers who had a lot of success in the field of youth ministry in their parishes and had built very strong and viable programs. And he said, and Jim Beckman also had done that himself as well in a couple of different parishes. He said, "What's the common denominator? What is the actual linchpin? What's the actual thing that?" Is the difference between failure and success when it comes to making young people into disciples of Jesus Christ? And then how, so that was the first question. And the second question was, how do we teach resource parishes to do that, to do what's successful? And so what we discovered is that pretty much the linchpin of formation is exactly the way Jesus did formation. It's small group, discipleship. It's an adult, that young people, when they come to learn the faith and when they come to become lifelong disciples, it's usually because they had a relationship with an adult who built a relationship with them, formed them within that relationship, mentored them and pastored them within that relationship, taught them the faith, taught them how to pray, that basically the faith is communicated through relationship with other people. And so we said, well, what do teens need really to be successful? They need relationships with peers who can support them because the faith is lived in community. And they need a relationship with a caring adult who can form them and in their faith. And so small groups, setting up small groups in parishes, one small group at a time, became basically the concept behind Why Disciple is what would happen if we did this. And I'll tell you, I implemented Why Disciple in my parish, one of the first parishes in the country to do so while it was still in its beginning stages of development. Started with just developing four small groups and just to see how they would go. Within a year's time, I had 12 small groups and my youth ministry had doubled in a year's time. And my teens were much more engaged than when I had done large group youth ministry. We have a parish out here in the Archdiocese of Denver that has 35 small groups and over 350 teens involved in their youth ministry. They retain their freshman class all the way through senior year of high school about at an 80% success rate. And they've had 12 seminarians come out of their youth ministry in the last few years. In a lot of ways, we looked at that parish and we said, well, this is what we need to teach parishes to do. We need to teach parishes to empower the adults in their parish to mentor teens. And if you really think about this, a lot of the concept behind youth ministry has been, let's hire a really, really dynamic young youth minister to engage the teens in the parish. But those youth ministers burn out on average about 18 months into their after being a youth minister in the position. What we're teaching parishes to do with Why Disciple is you can have a youth minister in the parish, but the role of that person changes. Instead of having the entire ministry revolve around one person, we're decentralizing the ministry and we're taking youth group out of youth ministry. Because if youth ministry is about putting adults in relationships with teens, you don't need a youth group to do it. You don't need one night of the week to do it. So what we found were common denominators. What are some of the things that prevented growth in a youth ministry? Teens are too busy. They can't all, if you say Wednesday night is youth group night, not every teen is in the parish is available on Wednesday night. In fact, only a small fraction of them are. If you say Sunday night is youth group night, same problem. If you're trying to get adults to volunteer and you've only got one night a week to do it, there's a problem with that because you can't get everybody basically to synchronize their schedules so that one night of the week works. You also can't teach to inform the masses in a large group because you can only teach one lesson if you've got a whole bunch of teens in the room. Teens are all over the spectrum in regards to their knowledge of the faith, their formation, where they're at personally. If you've got three or four teens that you can focus on with one adult in the parish, you can decentralize the ministry and you can individualize the approach to them. This small group discipleship afforded a lot of basically a lot of flexibility to parishes, a lot of flexibility to volunteers, a lot of flexibility to teens, and it created a great atmosphere for forming young people. You also didn't have to meet at the parish. You can meet at coffee shops, you can meet in living rooms, you can meet in a parking lot. Anywhere where teens meet, you could meet as a small group. So the concept really played well. When we said, conceptually, this seems like it would really work. Youth ministry that is decentralized, that is about small groups, small faith-sharing communities, where we teach teens how to pray, where we teach teens how to grow in their faith, where we teach teens and form them individually, and where adults only have to focus on three or four teens that they're passionate about. So what would it need to succeed? Well, the hardest part for an adult volunteer, if you're trying to, you're going to need a team. If you're going to do starting with even a couple of small groups, you're going to need two adults for each of those groups. So, but the problem is most adults in a parish don't feel confident engaging teens around subjects of the faith and presenting the faith and theology in a really engaging manner for teens. So we got together with Why Disciple, some of the best youth presenters in the country. We have over 30 presenters within our curriculum, and we made really, really dynamic video content for a youth leader, for an adult small group leader to use as a means to engage young people in the faith. And what this means is that we have basically a study that would consist of four different scenes, scene one through four. Each of the scenes is about 2 to 5 minutes, and they present on a topic related to the faith. And And so what the video content does is it allows the adult presenter to take the burden of presenting theology off of them and presenting the faith, and now they can kind of guide the discussion with our leader guides. So Why Disciple, first off and foremost, is a web-based presentation of the faith through a dynamic video curriculum. It was also really important for us to put Why Disciple on a web versus in DVDs, because if you've got multiple small groups, then you don't need multiple sets of DVDs. You can also take your small group anywhere where you have web access. In fact, we've now made the videos downloadable, so you don't even need web access, but that means you can do your small group within a coffee shop. So Why Disciple is a video curriculum. It's a dynamic video curriculum, web-based presentation of the faith. It's delivered in the context of small group faith sharing. So every adult leader gets a leader guide that they can download from the website, or they can read off an iPad or an iPhone, or they can print out. And each of the small group sessions that they do with teens have three different points: connect, discuss, commit. So they do exercises at the beginning of their small group to connect with the teens and to connect with them with where their lives are at. That leads them into discussion, which is when they start looking at the video presentations and they begin discussing some of the well-crafted discussion questions. And then finally, there's a commitment piece, accountability and commitment to growth and prayer at the end of each small group. So you're building community, you're building friendships within the group, you're discussing questions that they want to discuss, you're taking the burden of presenting the faith off of the leader, and ultimately then you're giving them accountability so that they can grow throughout the week. It's facilitated by well-trained, faithful adults. If you're using adult volunteers or even youth ministers, you want them well-trained. And so what we've done is we've put together training videos on our website, a very simple, short, like TED Talk-style training videos, 15 to 20 minutes long, that teach the leaders how to lead a small group, how to engage teens where they're at, how to engage the parents within the concept of discipleship, and how to launch their small groups and do it successfully. So you're putting the ownership of the group on the adult volunteer and basically giving them all the tools they need to be able to make that small group successful. And finally, what Why Disciple provides is support to parents in their role as primary educators of the faith. Every single study that we've done shows that the biggest factor with regards to a young person being faithful in their faith for their life is a parent. And we think that teens don't want to be involved in the lives of their parents, or they don't want their parents involved in their lives, but that's actually not the case. So because our platform is web-based, and because our videos are web-based, we strongly encourage parishes to give usernames and passwords to all the parents who have teens within the small groups so that they can watch videos ahead of time as well. It catechizes the adults, and then we send them home a parent discussion sheet every week, or a small group leader does, which allows the parent to get into the conversation that the teen was having in their small group and continue that conversation with their teen throughout the week. So what is Why Disciple? It's a web-based presentation of the faith through a dynamic video curriculum delivered in the context of small group faith sharing, facilitated by well-trained faithful adults and providing support to parents in their role as primary educators in the faith. And here's a screenshot of our website and what's provided. Basically, the idea behind Why Disciple was we want to create a vision within parishes to spread the new evangelization through youth. We want to give a parish a vision and an understanding of how to do youth ministry well, how to engage every teen in their parish, how to start from the ground up so that you have successful ministry to teens within your parish for the next decade or longer, that isn't dependent upon a staff resource or having great financial resources or having really dynamic catechists. It's all about community. So we wanted to give parishes a vision, and then we wanted to resource them with that vision to make it very simple and easy to do. Occasionally, this is the last thing I'll say, occasionally people look at our price and they say, $1,200, that seems really, really high for a parish program. or for a resource. And the reality is that's because we're not selling a resource. We're not interested in giving you a DVD resource or a textbook or something to just put in the closet and use sporadically. We're interested in empowering parishes with an understanding of how to engage young people in their parish and do it effectively and then make it really simple for them. And we're also putting the best, some of the best youth presenters in the country at their disposal through our four-year video curriculum. So the idea behind Why Disciple is really, if you think about $1,200 to do that, it's kind of a steal. It's really actually very, very affordable when you think about what the possibility and potential is within a parish to do it. Russell Hoy, who's on the call, and we're going to take questions. We're going to take Q&A at the end of this, but I'm going to let Russ tell us a little bit about how this was implemented in his parish. He is the youth minister at St. Mary's in Greeley, Colorado, and has been doing Why Disciple now for probably about a year and a half, and was actually one of the youth ministers that was involved in helping us, giving us feedback, and helping us as part of the original team to develop it, develop the resource. So, Russ, are you on the call at the moment? Russ?
I am.
Okay. Hey, Russ. So I'm going to ask Russ if you do this kind of interview style, ask him a few questions to help him help us just kind of understand what it looks like and how it's impacted his parish. But Russ, tell me a little bit about just how long have you been at your parish?
I have been in my parish for a little less than 2 years. It'll be 2 years in July.
Okay. And what was, tell us a little bit about your parish when you walked in the door 2 years ago.
Sure. I was coming from a successful southeast parish in Raleigh, North Carolina. I had 4 years. I was there for 4 years. And then just coming across into Colorado. And one of the reasons that I was brought here was because there was no active youth ministry at the time, and one of the reasons was because their youth ministry kind of has been through so many ups and downs, 5 youth ministers in 7 years or something ridiculous like that, and the last youth minister had put together, had called things youth ministry that really was 5 teens watching watching Remember the Titans 2 or 3 times a year. It was a really challenged environment. People were really resistant to even the phrase youth ministry because they said, oh, well, I know what that is already and I don't want to be part of that. So it was negative vacuum space was what I walked into.
Okay. Great. So what made you decide to start small group discipleship in your parish, and why disciple in particular?
Well, when I was, I distinctly remember being on the plane, flying, let's see, I drove and then I flew back. So flying on my way from Denver to go grab my family from Pittsburgh, where they were visiting, I remember just thinking, if I'm going to start a whole new culture of youth ministry in my parish, I don't want to waste my time. I can't tell you how many times I felt like, as a youth minister running any form of ministry, how many times I thought, does this really matter? Am I really impacting kids? In the end, is this going to stick? And I said, well, I have the freedom. I had the freedom to fully shape and direct my program. And I said, I am not going to do a single thing that doesn't work. So I had set out on a search for what is it that works. And I looked back at my ministry in Raleigh, and if I was really honest with myself, I was getting I probably had a 20 to 25% success rate. And now Jesus in The Sower of the Seed says that's as successful as you're ever going to get, this 25%. So I said, oh, I must be doing okay. But that 20 to 25%, when I really looked at the kids who are coming on my program that were really succeeding, that were really alive in faith, truly disciples, they were all kids who were involved in a small group that I ran. It was a mixed gender small group, and they were for kids who wanted to be involved in a leadership process. And I thought, well, it must be the leadership. No, I was wrong. It was simply because I was willing to meet with them on a weekly basis and talk to them about their lives and speak intentionally. So having thought about that, I said, well, then here's an, then this is a no-brainer. Then I need to run small group ministry. And our separated brethren have figured out that small group ministry was the only way to do high school youth ministry and even middle school youth ministry. They figured that out 15 years ago and have been doing it regularly. So I thought, well, if these guys, and the parish that I'm at is 5 minutes is outside of Loveland, which is really close to group publishing. So I was surrounded by people who were doing really fantastic high school small group youth ministry. I said, well, that's what needs to happen. So then it became one to the other. I started searching, and I said, what's the best resource that's going to enable me to do this? And there was only one answer, and the answer is Wisely. That's what got me from there to there.
So when you started Y Disciple in your parish, how did you start, and what did you learn in that process? Because I mean, back when you started, it was Y Disciple.
How much time you have
getting off the ground? concisely, I mean, tell us the most important.
How we started was we found a bunch of kids who would be interested in being a part of a high school community. See, and I want to quote a really wise man named Doug Field and a really holy man named St. John Paul the Great, both who said basically the same thing, that the youth of our parishes, they are not simply the youth of the future. They are not the church of the future. They are the church right now. I think never is it more important than in the 21st century that we fully recognize that we're talking about the church right now. We're doing ministry to the church right now. So I found some kids who wanted to be the church right now, and I said, look, I had this tiny little meeting with, I think, 12 kids in my office and two other leaders, and I said, this is what we want to do. This is our end goal, which is to build up a community of young people in our parish, and we want to do it through small groups. This is kind of how it would look. What do you think about that? They said, great, and we started. It was pretty simple. There were some recruiting components that went on through adults, but the beauty of that was I just had to look around and find people that teens looked up to and who loved God. And that was a pretty simple equation at the initial start when we were starting small. So that was our humble beginning. It definitely, what do we learn along the way? I can't begin to list, but I think the overarching theme is there are lots of presumptions, and I would encourage the people who are out there listening, you have assumptions and presumptions about what Y Disciple is or what small group ministry looks like. I started with them. I thought, because I'm a big game guy, and I thought, well, how am I going to entertain these 6 to 8 guys? How am I going to get them to listen if we're not, you know, playing zombie tag with Nerf guns all the time? They blew away my expectations. They were totally fine with sitting down and having guy time that didn't look like rough housing. Certainly we had fun and we played games and we did stuff like that, but they were totally willing to forego the big show for true relationship, not just with me, but with each other. And that was the second thing, is that America is desperately lonely, and our youth are infinitely desperately lonely. And to see them connect with each other was something that I learned about small group ministry that was essential. And the last one was, which is just one of the great benefits as a youth minister, nothing is better than watching an adult volunteer take over and start to minister to kids. When I was running a large group program, I was one youth minister with eight assistants. And now in my ministry now, I'm one youth minister with six other youth ministers, people who are invested. My small group leaders are really invested in their 6 to 8 kids. And I don't have to worry about them because it's a joke to think that I can minister to 40 kids really, really well. And for most people, their programs are much larger than that. That's a joke. It's impossible.
Yes.
So,
Russ,
so being,
out of curiosity, so you started with, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt because I know you will,
yeah.
And you can just keep going and going and going.
I will go.
Yes. So, Russ, you have one small group to start, or you had 12 teens, which could be one or two groups. How many small groups do you have currently?
So we started with three groups, and but they were really three groups on paper. You know, trying to build up the culture of attendance. And just people coming was kind of unique in my parish. So we had three on paper, and now we're ending. So that was probably about a year ago that we started kind of this whole process, and now we're up to five. And if I had to guess, my guess is that we will have between 5 and 7 next year.
Great. So it's multiplying.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, and that's kind of the concept. Is any parish doing Y Disciple, whether they're big or small? We have some parishes that are 75 families, and they're doing Y Disciple, and they're never going to grow to more than one or two groups, and that's awesome, and that's okay. But every parish starts small, and then you can grow, you can multiply it, or it can remain small, but you have a viable youth ministry, and that's kind of some of the concepts of Y Disciple. So when did you realize that Y Disciple was working in your parish?
Well, it would be when, two reasons, and I was going into that, was to when my adult leaders started to really engage. Every youth minister wants adult volunteers who aren't there to set up chairs and put, do the logistics. Although that's really important, what we're really looking for are people to mentor teens in faith. And I knew it was working the second week we started when I got my adult leaders together for a staff meeting, and all of them were saying how much they loved their group, how they were texting, communicating with their kids midweek, going to events, ministering to their needs, telling me about how I could pray for their team. That's the secret of good youth ministry is having adults who care ministering to teens. So that's number one. And then number two was just the level of familiarity that I got to have with my group. I didn't realize how poorly I knew them until I had to spend a lot of time with them. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. Finally, as a youth minister, I can mentor adults, which I love to do, and mentor a small group of teens that I can really pour myself into and be successful, because I have no hope in ministering to 50 to 100 teens, but I have a great chance of really changing 60 kids' lives. So those are two times, two things.
Cool. Can you tell us one success story about a teen in your parish with small group ministry? Give us an idea of what success looks like, I guess, is my question.
Yeah. Well,
the end goal is lifelong disciples.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're pretty early on in that process, but I can give you three different types of kids that we're doing ministry to right now that I think are really important. One is unbaptized, non-Catholic. Her mom wanted to get her involved in some church program, and she ended up in a small group with a small group leader who really cares about her and loves her, and she has been on drugs, has been on this, has been on that, has done this and that. And with the mentoring of her small group leader, she started to pray. She started beginning to engage in a relationship with God. She comes to Mass a couple times a month, and that's a huge turnaround to her. And the only way that could happen is if she had continued to build that if she, because she has an adult in her life who is encouraging her and has the time and the access to her via a small group. Another success story I would say is a young man is in my small group, and he has Asperger's, and a large group is terrifying for him, and he completely and totally shut down. And in our small group, he's not incredibly vocal, but there doesn't go a small group by when he doesn't say something about what's going on in his life and gives us really pointed comments about his experience, and it's awesome. I would never hear from him in a large group setting. Never. Ever. But because we have a different environment, we can offer an opportunity for him to engage in his youth community. And then I would say lastly, another kid, great kid, he's kind of your average awesome youth group kid, the kid that comes to everything, the kid that wants to be involved, and just to see him become a leader in a small group, and it's given him the opportunity to engage with his peers in a way that he can lead them in faith. It's a lot more difficult, it takes a lot more coaching to get a kid in front of a teenager in front of, you know, 50, 60 high school kids, but to have just a young man who is not being overly glorified, just sharing his life and sharing his faith with his peers in a way that brings him faith and brings others faith is an awesome thing. So I would say those three things.
Great. Awesome. Thanks, Russ, for sharing. I think we have about 23 minutes left on the call, and I want to give the opportunity for people. You've shared your story about Why Disciple. I've given kind of an overview. I want to open it up for questions so that people can ask a youth minister who's implementing and then somebody who works for Why Disciple can ask any questions that they might have. So I don't know how we unmute. How do we unmute? Andy, are you still there? Or Jay?
All we need to do is... Yep.
Hi,
anybody that has a question.
Go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead, Annie.
Yeah, anybody that has a question can just hit *6 to unmute their phone.
Great, and we'll do our best to get as many questions in as we can.
Yep, Everett, this is Brian Truckenbrode. So I did have one question for you. One of the things that I hear in conversation with parishes is there's a question about whether or not they'll be able to get faith-filled adults or parents to volunteer. And you've addressed already that, one, a lot of the pressure gets taken off, or really all the pressure in having to present the faith in a really engaging way, that Why Disciple removes that pressure from them. But how easy or difficult is it to actually, and how do you go about finding those adults
sure.
that would be good candidates?
So we piloted this last year with 100 parishes. And one of the things that we learned in our pilot year was that a great recipe for success, and this is why I said it several times, is to start small and grow big. That starting with one or two groups is a really, really healthy way to start. And one of the reasons why is because you don't have to recruit that many leaders for one or two groups. You need 2 to 4 leaders for those groups. And you say, so then where do I find 2 to 4 leaders? Well, we have a training video. I think if you see, if I share my screen again, the website will show up, and you'll see one of the first tabs that you would get if you sign up with Why Disciple is YD Training. That gives 5 training videos for adult leaders, but it also gives 2 training videos for the parish coordinator, the youth minister, the DRE, whoever that is. And one of those training videos is specific to how do you recruit your team. So we know that is one of the things that gives people anxiety or that gives people reserve. How do I find the right leaders to lead these teams? And that's imperative to make the ministry successful, and which is why we have a whole training video specific to how do you locate the right leaders, what do you say to them to get them involved and encourage them, and then how do you set those leaders up for success so that they feel really enabled to be able to do this kind of ministry. Otherwise, there's no exact science to it. I mean, it's typical recruitment strategies, but we address that within the Why Disciple training that's available through the platform and the subscription.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. If someone else has a question, they can star 6 to unmute, and we'll take those on a first come, first serve.
Hi. Yes, I have a question about getting this started. You talk about starting with one or two small groups. Are you still doing your regular youth program and then just do like little splinter groups, or do you just do away with your large group?
Russ, do you want to take this, or do you want me to?
Sure.
Jump in. Go for it, Russ.
Right now, when we initially started, sorry, I didn't catch your name. Who am I talking
to? She might have muted herself again.
Okay. Well, we started kind of with a hybrid version. We had initially started with some large group and some small group, and eventually we've made the shift into predominantly small groups. We kind of have a rhythm where we have small groups, and then every 4 to 6 weeks we'll have a large group event as kind of an outreach event where people in small groups can bring their friends who aren't in small groups to come and have an experience and hopefully move them into small groups. I know a lot of other parishes have done large groups concurrently, you know, done like maybe they have a big group on Sunday and during the week they have large groups, but in my experience and what I've seen and what I think Wider Disciple has seen is that usually what ends up happening is that the small groups eat the large groups, which is a good thing. That means that you have kids who want to go deeper in relationship with Jesus and with their peers. And so that seems to be a natural consequence, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So that's been my experience.
I'll jump into that question too, real quick. I mean, because I had a very active large group ministry when I started experimenting with small groups, I had that exact example where I started 3 small groups just to see what would happen, or 4 small groups, and all the teens that were going to small groups stopped coming to the large group youth group because what they were getting in their small groups was so much better in regards to the formation, in regards to what they were looking for, that they really weren't looking for a large group ministry anymore. So we actually changed. We were trying to run them simultaneous, but eventually we just wiped out large group ministry. And we would do once a month, we would do a large group where all the small groups would come together, and we would do small group competitions just for the sake of fellowship and community, or something where they could interact within their small groups. But for the most part, every parish that we've started Y Disciple with that had a large group ministry that they tried to run alongside, eventually the small groups wiped it out because the teens just demanded that they're going to go to what's successful, and they just demanded that the dynamic of the youth ministry change. So you can run them, you can kind of run a transition, but eventually a parish small group ministry just kind of cannibalizes the large group.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Karen Hansen. I had a question for you. Tell me, how many episodes are there, or how many different studies are there with this program?
Mm-hmm. So currently there are, we have enough content on our website to service 2 years worth of meetings with teens. So I think we have about, I'd say about 40 plus video studies, which is going to be stretched out to probably about 50 or 60 throughout the course of the next year because of what we have in production currently. And then we have about 30 small group activities. So it's a session that you would do with teens that isn't video-based and discussion-based, but it revolves around doing an activity together, like going to Stations of the Cross or going to Adoration together as a group, or going bowling as a group, or doing a movie together, like building community or building prayer as a group. So we have activity-based sessions as well. So currently there's about 2 years' worth of content for a small group ministry. Eventually, I'd say by the end of 2016, we'll have a full 4 years of content up on the Y Disciple webpage. So we're constantly adding more sessions and more video studies as we produce them. Eventually we'll have 4 years worth of high school content and curriculum that goes through the entire USCCB guidelines of the faith, faith formation for adolescents, as well as a lot of life application stuff as well.
So are these sessions designed for one to build on the net, that they go in a particular order?
Yes and no. What we try to do is create series. And by the time we complete the 4 years, we'll have kind of a recommended ebb and flow that you could do as a small group over the course of 4 years. But the nice thing about doing things as a series is once you complete like a 4 to 6 week series with your group on a particular topic, like salvation history or the sacraments or something, you can kind of see what the teens are most interested in. And we hope that small group leaders will be able to pick and choose what they want to do with their group. And eventually they'd work their way through the entire curriculum within 4 years and give them a full formation of faith. But it's nice because then you can kind of individualize the content to what the teens are really interested in, and get them engaged and answer the questions that they have. So yes and no, basically.
Everett, can I jump in there?
Sure.
Just from my real time experience, we didn't get through half of the content because when you get down into the nitty gritty of being with 6 to 18, the majority of them have questions I love the fact that I can tell one of my adult small group leaders, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go on the YD website, and I want you to find a couple of topics that you think are really going to hit your kids, your 6 to 8 girls where they're at. I want you to tailor their experience. And without fail, they have gone through maybe one study and said to me, Russ, we need to keep talking about modesty, or we need to keep talking about the Trinity. So my girls and I, we're getting together and we're going through the catechism paragraphs on blank. And it has become, to have the ability to give her a full scope and sequence and freedom to choose has really revolutionized not only my kids' experience, but the adult leaders. The question of finding adult leaders, is that a real thing? When I can tell you for a fact, because we had to renew our subscription, and I asked the adult leaders, do we need this? And they said, absolutely. They feel so much more confident with a Y Disciple product backing them and the access that they get from it. So
what's amazing to me about what you just said, Russ, is it really, I think, shows that the kids want to go deeper, and because the parents are and the adults are, as mentors, are able to really help them go deeper without having to be the show, without having to, you know, be able to present everything, et cetera, but they can focus on the relationship and take it where the kids need it to go. That sounds amazing.
I got a question. You mentioned groups. Are you saying that it's advantageous to have boys separate from girls?
What we're discovering and what we recommend is gender-based groups. So men, adult males mentoring all boy groups, and adult women mentoring all girl groups. Now, a parish that has 100 families, that has a handful of teens in their parish, may not be able to navigate that dynamic and may put mixed groups together. But what we're finding is that girls don't want to share the intimate details of their lives with teenage boys in the room. And guys learn how to be virtuous men from other virtuous men. So the best scenario is gender-based groups, and that's what we strongly recommend, and we recommend that within our training. But parishes can implement however they want. I've run a small group mixed before, and I've run a small group of just guys and had success both ways. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Christina Radley. I'm a youth minister at ICD in St. Louis, and we're discerning using Y Disciple, and I went and shadowed a ministry in Lawrence, Kansas. And what they did, they had a discernment night for the teens, and we cater to 100-plus teens per, like, big event night. So is there any helpful tips that you have, you know, in preparation for the discernment night? I was thinking of having a parents' night, but is there any good resources other than the intro video to use, or do you have commitment cards that you would suggest?
Are you talking like a discernment night, like if
we were going to have a discernment night for our small groups, because we cater to a lot of teens, we were just going to have a night where we introduce Y Disciple and then present the small group option, and then they were going to fill out a commitment card stating that they would be interested in that and participating in that. We were thinking twice a month, and then if they're unable to make those, you know, they'll have to meet with me and things like that, just so that it would be easier to break up the teens into small groups.
Sure.
Any thoughts on that or guidance?
Russ, did you do a teen launch event? I mean, essentially what you're talking about is a teen launch event.
Essentially,
is
yes.
What we would call it. Yeah. Russ, did you do a teen launch event in your parish?
We did a teen launch event, and it crashed and burned on its face. here's what I learned, and this has been my experience, and I know that this has been every experience. In the end, kids are generally happy doing this. They don't really need a big show and to do what we're doing next year. I'll back up. And what I mean by that is, really, in the end, what we did was we had a big group gathering. We said who'd be interested in doing youth ministry this year. Took it all together, got all the small group leaders together. Main groups had the small group leaders contact them, and they were off to the races, and it was pretty simple. What we're doing again this year is one large group of just kind of fun, getting people excited about a year. Another, which is a dry run of come and meet a small group leader and a group of people, and them kind of get some input, and then going live after that. But my general experience has been that it's not difficult to get kids in the small groups.
Sure.
Here,
well,
I'll jump.
About 900 teens, so I was trying to figure out how to do that.
Sure.
900, that's incredible.
We have 900 within our parish, and so we have about 125 active. I mean, let's be real, 900, that would be insanity. So I'm just trying to figure out how to do that an efficient, clear way to make sure teens aren't left out. So, I mean, I was thinking definitely a teen launch event, because we'd be hosting it right after Steubenville, when all the kids are in their adorable Jesus high. So just wondering if you guys had any concepts for like a teen launch event or anything.
Sure. I'll jump in and say, you know, I had two goals when I did teen launch events, and I did one at my parish when I was first launching, and I did one in a parish in Florida because they hired me to come out, which, yes, I am available for hire for the 46 people on the call. So a shameless plug there. But I went out and I did a teen launch event for a parish in Florida, and it didn't really matter what we did. It was just a matter of getting the teens in the door. We had two goals. One was to show the promo video and speak for about 3 to 5 minutes on discipleship with a really captive audience. And about what we were going to be doing, and two was to get contact information, because the way that we recommend starting a small group is to divide the teens up. Basically, you hand a small group leader a list of contact information. You say, go invite them. Go invite them just the way Jesus did. So you give them a personal invitation. And you might be thinking, like, 900 teens, that's a lot of personal invitation. It's not if you divide it up among all your adult leaders, because then they're all making about 3 or 4 calls, and you're up and running. And I actually even found that if I could get a couple of teens committed, I could get all their friends committed to the small group pretty quickly after that.
So you wouldn't suggest having a commitment card that evening. You would just suggest, like, turn in the contact information if you're just interested, and we'll contact you, and then you could commit.
You could.
Okay.
I mean, you can do it any way you want. A commitment card that evening would be great. I always thought my two goals were get them in the room and show them a promo video and tell them what we're doing the year and how cool it's going to be, in a short, concise manner. And then two was to get contact information. So if you get commitments that evening, great. Run with it. But yeah, I would say if you, as long as you got those two things, you can get started.
Okay. Great. Great, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
I just had a question. Is there a good time to begin this? Like, are you supposed to kind of start it at the beginning of, like, a new school year, or does it work maybe to do it, like, after a studentville retreat when you've got kids that are kind of interested in this kind of thing?
Sure. There's no exact science. I think that one of the reasons why we launched in June was because we figured that many parishes might want to purchase in June and recruit and train their leaders over the summer and then launch in the fall or beginning in September or August.
Yeah,
or
that's kind of what we're planning on doing.
I mean, that's generally a good
what do you kind of do? Yeah. What do you kind of do in the meantime when you've got kids that, you know, we get back from, you know, the retreat in July? As of now, what I'm doing is I'm having like a youth group night every Tuesday after the youth conference until we begin. That way it kind of keeps it going a little bit.
Sure.
But what do you recommend that we do in between then? Because, you know, it's not going to be, you know, using the program, but yet it's still offering a way for them to, for the kids to stay connected.
I think if you could start small groups after Steubenville, if you could be ready for that, and do kind of you can get teens mm-hmm. into small groups after Steubenville and have them simply socializing mm-hmm. and building community within those small groups as they grow into the year, that's a great option. If you wanted, if getting your small group leaders and everybody ready to go in that timeline is not possible, I say train them over the summer and launch in.
I could probably get a few ready. Definitely, I could get a
sure.
I could get because I mean we already have we've already have like a number of adults that have been helping for, you know, three or four years now who could easily kind of learn this and. You know, like, and begin, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think if you can't have them ready by, if you couldn't have them ready by the end of Steubenville, you can do your youth group nights and just kind of build a bridge into the summer. Don't underestimate, too, taking away something, because sometimes when you take away something and then you bring it back, it creates a lot of excitement when you bring it back. I always found that if I took 4 weeks off and then reintroduced youth group, all of a sudden it was the most exciting thing. Youth group is starting up again. So, you know, as long as I was kind of
teasing what
was coming.
I think it depends. Yeah. Yeah. So, do you have a lot of – do you have any interest, or do you get a lot of calls or churches say more – like in Colorado and – in the South, it seems like the youth dynamic in the churches is very different, say, from on the East Coast.
And thank you for that question, and that will have to be the last question. So Everett and Rick,
okay.
I'll give you a chance to answer that, and then we're going to have to wrap up the call.
Okay.
Do we have parishes? I mean, we have parishes all over the place and quickly growing. Joe would probably be able to tell you where we have the most interest because he's the one who is probably in conversations the most. But we have a lot in Colorado. We've basically taken over the state of Colorado. We have parishes in Florida. We have parishes in the Midwest all over the place. A lot in the Midwest. We have some parishes that we have a lot of interest in Maine and Massachusetts, and parishes calling us from there. So, but gosh, yeah, I haven't been involved on the parish contact side of things enough to know where all the calls are coming from. But
Everett,
yeah, we get
Brian.
Go ahead.
I can tell you that for Joe and myself, it's all over. There's interest, I think, in every diocese practically. And it's exciting because it's just growing very, very quickly. We do have to wrap up this call. I want to thank Everett and Russ and Joe so much for taking the time to be on this call. I think it's been of great benefit. and it's exciting. I would say to those on the call, please reach out to your Lighthouse account manager. They can get you more information. Or if you're not sure who that is, you certainly can call this 800 number for more information on Y Disciple. And that number is 800-777-7502, 800-777-7502. And why don't we close with a glory be all across the country here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Thank you so much, guys, and look forward to our next call. Stay tuned. God bless.
Yes, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, everybody.